you pray for yourself this morning. I want you to pray for wisdom, for revelation, for understanding. And ask the Lord to open your eyes so that you become knowledgeable in the Word of God. Pray. Let's pray for ourselves this morning. Father God, we just pray this morning for the preaching of the Word. We thank you for the entrance of your Word. We pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus, your word says the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. And this morning, we come in simplicity of heart. Speak to us and reveal to us what is on your heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, are you ready to hear the word? All right. This morning, I want to continue on what we started last week. Last week, I introduced our new series entitled Get Answers, Get Perspective. Get Answers, Get Perspective. And I said it is important for you and I to have knowledge, because without knowledge, we are destroyed. Without knowledge, we perish. And we started just looking at what determines what happens in society today, what determines the answers that we get whenever we ask life questions. And one of the things that we discovered was that at the center of the answers that we get is this issue called worldview. It is a worldview, the lenses through which people view their world. And this morning, I want to take you through a deeper understanding of these worldviews. And I've entitled my message, Worldviews That Shape Society. Worldviews That Shape Society. Society is being shaped by different worldviews. The question is, what type of worldview are you propagating? We described worldview as the basis or the beliefs or the things that determine your interpretation of what is happening around you. And we got to understand that sometimes the way we were raised has an influence in the way that we perceive things. It influences the way we interpret things happening to us. Does somebody hear me this morning? So we are talking about worldviews that shape society. Whether we like it or not, whenever we sit down and we watch television or we watch a movie, I want you to realize that there's always a worldview that is being pushed through whatever is being viewed, whatever is being propagated. And so many times we are so gullible to a point where we don't even question whether this worldview is aligned with my walk with God or not. And I want to bring you to a place where your eyes get opened, that whenever you hear a conversation, you are able to say, this conversation is being driven by this type of a worldview, and I'm not going to entertain it. Hello, somebody. Now, there are a number of worldviews that shape society. And there are just four of them, or three major worldviews that shape society. And you would find that there are a lot of permutations around worldviews. And I'm just looking at three broad worldviews. But under each one of those worldviews, you'd find that there are different streams of worldviews that come from it. So I'll introduce you to three major worldviews. And then I'll briefly touch on a little bit of different worldviews that come from those major worldviews. I would want you to just pay attention with me. It's going to be a bit of a deep teaching, but I believe God will help us as we go through this teaching this morning. Now, what are these different worldviews? The first worldview that you will find in the world today when you are engaging society is a worldview called naturalism. Naturalism is a worldview that you find in the world. There's going to be a lot of writing. You can try and write as much as you can, but after the teaching, you'll find this posted on our website. Naturalism is one of the broader worldviews that you will find on earth and in the society. And what is naturalism? A naturalist says there is no God. You would find that a naturalist will say to you, there is no God. And a lot of people will tell you, human beings are just highly evolved animals. The universe is a closed physical system. And naturalists will tell you, we were not created by a higher entity called God, because they don't believe in God. So you'd find that atheists, people who don't believe in God, come from this worldview called naturalism. Now, when you drill down further to naturalism, you'd find that there is a worldview that is called modernism. Okay? I know some of you don't know much about modernism, but you know what underlies modernism. Now, modernism is a natural tendency of life that says this world is a scientific institution that evolved through scientific means. Now, under modernism, you'd find that there are materialism. A materialist will tell you the universe is a closed system and God is irrelevant. When you talk to people, they'll tell you this universe is a closed system and God is irrelevant. That is where atheists come from. People who are humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. That is where you hear people talking about the Big Bang Theory. They talk about evolution. Why? Because they don't think that the universe was created by God or created by a higher entity. So from materialism, you find evolution. I've mentioned that already. We all know the Darwin theory that says we evolved from apes. We evolved from monkeys. And you'd find people at different levels of evolving. So you'd find that people who are probably of a darker persuasion haven't reached a higher level of evolution. You'd find that racism is also stemmed from that kind of view, because it's talking about the development of human beings from that era of being an ape to being a fully developed person. That is evolution. So progress and evolutionary change are inevitable. That is what they say. So we are emerging from the result of a continuous process. So when you engage people, when you watch movies, you'd find that there are people who propagate evolution. They are coming from that place of modernism. The third issue under modernism is they believe in autonomy. They're saying a human being is autonomous. No one can control what a human being does. Therefore, I'm not answerable to anyone. If I'm autonomous, no one has the right to tell me what to do and what not to do. That is what autonomous talks about. A self-centered person, and this person will save himself from whatever they experience. The next issue here is human reason. Under human reason, people highly esteem education. And they say education is a guide of life. Intelligence and freedom guarantee full human potential. That is why you find that a lot of people who are highly educated tend to prescribe to humanism. They tend to prescribe to naturalism because they believe the more degrees I acquire, the more advanced I am. So a lot of people are highly educated. If they are not careful, they become so proud inside themselves that you're not able to relate with them. Why? It's coming from this worldview of human reasoning. The fifth entity is science. So modernism was stuck in this place of science. They wanted to be able to explain everything scientifically. So science is the ultimate provider for both knowledge and morals. This is the issue of modernism. When you watch certain movies that are Scientology-based, you might realize they are pushing this whole issue of science. I'm reminded of movies like Mission Impossible. When you watch Mission Impossible, there's a worldview that is being pushed by the main actor in that movie. It's great when you watch Mission Impossible, but you need to understand that he's pushing science. And it's very much driven by that view. Do you hear me this morning? It's all coming from modernism. Now, I want you to realize that modernism was always steeped in scientific facts. They wanted to be able to explain stuff. That is where we look at views like the Marxist, Freudian, Darwin theory. They wanted to explain things. So that is the one leg of naturalism. But there's another leg. When people became tired of wanting to explain things scientifically, they grew disgruntled. They became disgruntled. And they became very skeptic. Now, you'd find that modernism was propagated from the 1890s. So from the 1890s, modernism was the thing. People wanted to explain stuff. They tried to explain everything scientifically. And then just after the World War, they became very skeptic. And they said, we are tired of being boxed in this scientific view. That is where they birthed postmodernism. Postmodernism came as a result of skepticism on the explanation that science was providing. Now, what does postmodernism say? You can see it's another leg of a naturalist. That is the leg that says we are tired of being boxed in this box called science. We want to just self-define ourselves. So when it comes to postmodernism, and this is what has driven Western civilization, and this is what is driving a lot of people today. It is a postmodernism view where we say there are no objective truths and there are no moral standards. Everything is relative. Ultimately, humanity is defined by the culture around them. In other words, every cultural environment will define who they are, what is right to them, what is wrong to them. It brings up the whole issue of being relative. So when you talk to somebody who is driven by postmodernism, they'll say to you, what is true to you is not necessarily true to me. I define my own truth. Hello, somebody. So it is important to understand where this person is coming from. They say truth is culturally based. So every society and villages will define what is true to them. They'll define what is wrong and what is right to them. To them, reality is in the mind of the beholder. We say beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Here we say reality is in the mind of the beholder. Whatever is real to you, it is so. And no one has a right to come and tell you this is not right. In other words, nothing can be proven. This is postmodernism. They'll come to you and say, you say God is real. Prove to me that God is real. Can you bring me some tangible evidence? Now, this morning, I want you to know that people defined postmodernism and they looked at the impact. I don't have this on my slides, but there's a guy by the name of Sigmund Freud. He was an Australian neurologist who said, fundamentally, we only find what we need and only see what we want to see. We have no other possibility. Since the criterion for truth, correspondence with the external world is absent. In other words, there's no criteria for truth. It is absent. Therefore, it is entirely a matter of indifference what opinions we adopt. All of them are equally true and equally false. And no one has a right to accuse anyone else of error. Someone has said that we have now moved from the conviction that everyone has a right to his own opinions to the notion that every opinion is equally right. Every opinion is equally right. Can you imagine trying to preach Christ to a postmodernist? Can you imagine trying to convince them that what you're experiencing, there's a spiritual issue that is under play here? They'll say to you, that's your reality, it's not my reality. Now, I want you to know that postmodernism does not rule out religion as the modernists did. However, they emphasize on human reason. A postmodernist will look at reasoning. It's relative. Does it make sense to me? If it makes sense to me, it's good. If it feels good to me, it is good. That is where you find people who they'll go against natural tendencies just because they don't find reason in a natural tendency. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about that worldview. Now, after some time, We developed from, they developed from, I don't want to say we because I'm not part of this, you know. They developed from being modernist to be, to postmodernism. And then there's what we call pantheism. What is pantheism? Pantheism is a view that God is everything and everyone, and that everyone and everything is God. This is very much related to polytheism, the multiplicity of gods. So these people believe that there is God, but everything is God, and God is everything. What that means is I can look at this mic and say, this mic is God. Yes. Pantheist says, this mic looks like God, feels like God, therefore it is God. A tree is God, a rock is God, an animal is God, the sky is God, the sun is God, you are God. Now, this is the basis of the many other cults that we are seeing today, cults like Hinduism, Buddhism, cultures like Mother Nature and the New Age. It is coming from the pantheist worldview that says God is in all and all is God. That is where you hear New Age people, they say, we are divine. They speak of the human divinity that does not come from Christ coming inside of you. So we need to be very, very careful when we speak of Mother Nature. We always talk about Mother Nature. What is that worldview? That worldview is coming from this pantheism worldview that says everything is God, a tree is God. So whatever is happening in the atmosphere, whatever is happening with weather, it is Mother Nature at work. You've heard people saying Mother Nature. You've heard people saying the mother city. What do they mean when they say Cape Town is the mother city? There's a worldview behind that. Mother Nature. Now, there are a number of permutations around this pantheism worldview. The first one is monism. And this is driven by the New Age people. They believe that all is one. There are no ultimate distinctions between humans, animals, and the rest of creation. That is what New Ages say. It's under this pantheism. The monism philosophy says there is no distinction between an ape and a human being. We are just one. Hello, somebody. This is what they say, and we need to understand this. Secondly, the human divinity. I've already alluded to this. If all is one and all is God, then we should conclude that we are gods. Therefore, we should conclude that we are gods, human divinity. The third aspect is cosmic consciousness. Again, New Age people, they say human beings must discover their own divinity by experiencing a change in consciousness. That is where they speak of enlightenment. They speak of enlightenment. I've been enlightened. My aha moment. Hello, somebody. My aha moment. All of a sudden, my consciousness has been awakened to something else. But this awakening is not as a result of revelation from God. It is because you are divinity. You are God. That is why when we watch certain shows, we need to be careful what worldview is being propagated. And you hear preachers saying, my aha moment. What is the origin of the aha moment? Is it not stemmed from this place of human divinity? That says, I develop in my consciousness, and therefore, the more complex I am in understanding certain things, I get better and better as a human being. What is the conclusion of this human divinity, of this progression that we go through? It results to incarnation. Incarnation speaks of, we believe that we travel through endless cycles of birth, death, and reincarnation in order to work off our bad karma. And I've heard Christians talking about karma. So they believe in the notion that if I do bad now, I'll be punished the later life when I come out. I'll not come out as a better creature. I'll come out as a chameleon. Hello? In my other life, I'll become a tree. And then they'll say to you, I'm saving my karma. Because I've been evil all along. Whatever is happening to me right now is payback time. And I want you to know, many believers think like that. But that's not the view of God. That's not how we should live. They speak of reincarnation. So when you die, you're just moving into another form of life. Hello, someone? Hinduism, Buddhism, that is why these people worship anything and anyhow. I remember somebody telling me, this guy was moving around with his God, with her God. And you have to protect your God because your God can break. Okay. The fifth issue is moral relativism. It is relative. Morality is relative. They think in terms of grace. There are no absolutes. Truth cannot be known. There are no absolutes. So you need to understand this morning that when you speak to a new ager, there can never be a black or white issue. It's different shades of gray. Different shades of gray, depending on how you feel that day. But the Bible says to us, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. Do you hear me this morning? Amen. You see, new agers, they often believe in conflicting ideas can actually coexist. Though they are different views, they can coexist. Now, so I've covered this whole issue of naturalism. We've covered pantheism, which has a permutation of polytheism, where we speak of multiplicity of gods. The third one is theism. This is an issue of we believe there is God. Theism says there is God. The view that all limited or finite things are dependent in some way or another on a supreme being who created us. Theism says we believe in God. But the question is it the same God that we believe in? You'd find that under theism, if you can just give me the next slide, we've got now the African traditional. Okay? We now have got Islamic, we've got Christianity, we've got Judaism, we've got now those four and many other who believe in a supreme being. Okay. Theism says we believe in God. We believe in a God who created us and is far above humanity. Now, there is a question that you need to start asking yourself. If these people all believe that there is God, is it the same God that we believe in? Because when you speak to an Islamic person, they will tell you that Allah and the God of the Bible are one and the same. Is that true? Why is it not true if it's not true? And yet they believe that Allah created us. Okay, the same God who is worshipped by the African traditional religion, is it the same God of the Bible? What is the main difference? Should the question be, do we serve the same God or do we have the correct concept of God? Hello, somebody? Do we have the correct concept of God around African traditionalism? In 2 weeks' time, I'm going to take you through a teaching around the difference between African traditionals and the God of the Bible. The reason why I think we need to cover that is because we are predominantly in Africa. And we're going to be facing people who worship God through ancestors. And it is issues that we face every single day. How do we distinguish the God who is being professed by the traditional Africans and the God of the Bible? What is the difference between Allah, the God of Quran, and the God of the Bible? Briefly, one of the major differences between Allah, the God of Quran, And God, the God of the Bible, is the fact that Allah says, you are only lovable if you are without sin. I will love you without sin. If you are sinful, you deserve to die. I do not love sinners. That is why they speak of the infidel. Every infidel has to die. Allah does not love the sinner. That is totally a different concept from the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible tells me in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not die but have everlasting life. That is the concept of the God of the Bible. The concept of Allah says, you have to be good for me to love you. The concept of the God of the Bible says, you don't have to be good. I will love you because I am good. Amen. Do you hear me this morning? That's a major difference. The concept of the God of the Quran says you must pay, you must die for you to enter heaven. But the concept of the God of the Bible says, I have died for you. All you need is to receive me to enter heaven. Amen. Guys, those are two different concepts. Totally different concepts. The Bible says, whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did not wait for us to be okay for him to die for us. But in the Quran, Allah says, you have to suffer to earn my love. That is why they say the infidel has to die. The God of the Bible does not say the infidel has to die. He says the infidel has to see my love. And through my love, the Bible says the love of God leads us to repentance. When he shows you that he loves you, irrespective of your sins, you will be drawn to the God of the Bible. Amen. I'll go into major differences between the God that is professed by the African traditional religion. There are major differences. There might be some similarities, but I want you to know in the African traditionalism, it will go right into idolatry. It's not the same God that we worship. The concepts are different. We need to understand those concepts. Now, without understanding the differences between the concept of God there, we might then get to a point where we enjoy the interfaith movement, where we say, we worship the same God, guys. We might as well have the same, the Hindus, the Islamic people, and the Christians, and Africans. Let's just come together under one roof and worship one God. The problem there is we have a different concept of God. Do you understand the correct concept of God? For you to be able to stand and reason with somebody who is a Muslim and say, different concepts.